Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here this morning. I'm thankful for the year of 2025, Lord, for all the blessings and all the things that we learned and all the things that we went through. We just pray, Lord, that as we go into the new year, that we don't let the past hold us back, and that we look forward to what the future holds for each one of us, Lord. And I just pray that you would just help us to keep our focus and attention on you this coming year. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just be glorified by the things that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in our final week of our Christmas to-do list series, and we're going to deal with this topic: be generous. Be generous. So hopefully you've been putting these Christmas to-do list things into action in your life. But really, being generous is such an important thing for Christians, because our generosity really speaks volumes to other people. Now, the opposite of being generous is being greedy. Now, no one puts greed on their to-do list. Greed is actually an addiction, and it's actually fed by the pursuit of more, but not only fed by the pursuit of more, it's actually fed by holding on to what we have. Eric Fromm, the German social psychologist, said this about greed. He said, "Greed is a bottomless pit which exhausts the person in an endless effort to satisfy the need without ever reaching satisfaction." So it's that concept of, I want more, I think it will satisfy me, but the more doesn't satisfy me, so I want more, I think it will satisfy me, and then the more doesn't satisfy me, and it just continues on and on. Now, we combat the addiction of greed with generosity. Now, the scriptures teach that we have three resources that we as believers are called to be generous with. And most of you know this, I've talked about this before, but they are our time, our talent, and our treasure. So I want to start with time. I mean, obviously, we all have 24 hours in a day. We all have the same amount of time. Even though we might not think we do, we all do. It's just how we appropriate our time. So basically, many times we look at time as my time, right? This is my time. The call of the believer is to use the time that God has blessed you with the way that God desires you to use it. Let's look at Ephesians 5. It says this: "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So basically, what this passage is telling us is make the best use of the time that God has given you, because the days are evil, meaning there's a lot of evil and sinful things that you can get involved with in your time. But then he says, therefore, do not be foolish, but do what? Understand how God wants you to use that time. Understand God's will for your time. The next, we have our talents. Okay, we all have certain talents and gifts. And 1 Peter says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, the call of the believer is to be generous with the talents and gifts that we have. Now, talents and gifts that we have are usually skills and abilities, things that we're good at, and spiritual gifts, things that God's gifted us to do. We're supposed to use them to serve God and to help other people. So when you're part of a local church like ours, you see different people doing different things, and you're like, wow, that's such a blessing that they're using their gifts and talents in order to serve the Lord. But it doesn't stop just within the church. You can use your gifts and talents to serve the Lord and to help other people in your everyday life. Now, we also have what we call our treasure. Now, our treasure, most of us know, is our money and possessions, right? It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. So the scriptures tell us to honor the Lord with the possessions, the material things, and the money that he allows us to have, that he has blessed us with. Now, unfortunately, what happens is this. Our tendencies are to hold back in these three areas. Our tendencies are to hold back in these three areas and not be generous. Maybe we're greedy. Maybe we're afraid we will not have enough for ourselves if we let go of some. Maybe we're lazy, like with maybe our time. We just don't feel like it. Or simply this. Maybe you don't realize that generosity is actually something that God desires from the believer. Maybe it just never occurred to you. You never heard about it. You never read about it. You never heard a message about it. So the question is this. How do we, as believers, moving into 2026, become generous? So in order to be generous, I believe there's five reasons. There's probably more than that, but five things we need to remember when it comes to generosity. And the first is this. We have something to give. Now, you might say, I can't give because I don't have. In whatever area, time, talent, treasure, you could say, I don't have. I don't have the time. I don't have the talents. I don't have the treasure. That's either a lie you're believing or what you think is a valid excuse. Okay, it's either a lie you're believing, you seriously believe that, or you're kind of lying to yourself and you think, oh, this is a valid excuse. I don't have. You may say, I don't have the time. I want you to ask yourself this. How much time do you spend binge watching shows, surfing on the web, scrolling on social media? How much time do you spend doing those types of things? And I know you'll argue with me and say, well, it's entertainment. I got to relax and this and that. I get it. There's a time and place for relaxation and entertainment. But sometimes people take that to a level that is like actually really self-destructive, because actually, I don't know if you know this, I just kind of learned this, they call it doom scrolling. Like when somebody, you just, and you're like, oh, that's when I keep on going like this on my phone and keep on looking at all these things. And it just, doom scrolling, basically what it means is you're dooming yourself, because now all of a sudden you spent 45 minutes, an hour and a half on your phone. You might say to yourselves, I don't have the talents. You may think, I'm not really that good at anything, or I have nothing to offer. Like I'm not really like, I see people singing up front. I can't do that. I see people like building something and helping somebody. I can't do that. So you might think like, I don't really have like talents or gifts to share with other people. But let me just say, you do. And maybe it's just about being creative with the use of those talents. Maybe there's a ministry that needs to be started based upon your talents. I know I've said this before. Some of you are good at things or have a gift or ability that maybe you can be creative and actually start a ministry within the church with other people that can actually do those things with you. You might say this, I don't have the treasure. You might think in order to give, it needs to be a significant gift. Now, a great example of a person that could have easily has said that, I have nothing to give, and you know who I'm going for here, is in Luke chapter 21. It says, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. The widow knew, I have something. And guess what? Of that something, she was giving it all. Well, how did she come to this conclusion? Because obviously we all have something, whether it's time, whether it's talent, treasure. How do we kind of manage that? How do we realize that? How do we decide like, okay, I'm going to do this? Well, it brings us to the next thing that we have to remember, and that is this. We have to trust the Lord. Okay, we have to trust the Lord. God will provide when I put him and his will first. Every believer really, really, really needs to know is God will provide when I put him and his will first. Never look in fear at using time. Never look in fear at look in fear about using your talents and abilities and saying, if I do this, I won't have enough. When you trust the Lord, he is going to provide. Many times being generous is squelched because we're afraid that if we give of what we have, we'll not have enough for our own needs. And this is a normal fear, right? I want to make sure I have enough. I mean, when you see your bank account going up, you're like, oh, I feel a little good. You know, just in case something happens, I have that. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't save and have an emergency fund. I'm not saying any of those things. I want Dave Ramsey knocking on my door like, why are you teaching these people? That's how he sounds. Here's the thing. The widow realized that her trust had to be in the Lord. And she looked at the situation and said, you know what? I'm just going to give everything. I don't have much. I'm just going to give it all. Now, we live in fear or doubt that God will not provide for us when we don't trust him. When we trust in what we have rather than the one who gave it to us. We trust in what we have rather than the one who gave it to us. Now, maybe you feel this way. You know what? If I spend my time serving a church or helping someone else, I'm not going to have the time I need to get the things that I need to get done or provide for my family. Now, most of you know this. When you use your time wisely, it's amazing how much you get done. You ever have those days where you really don't have much to do, and then you jump on that couch and you're just like, I don't really have much to do today. And guess what you get done? Exactly. So here's the thing. Sometimes when you're more productive, I would say all the time, when you're more productive with your time, it seems like God kind of backfills that. Like, oh, I'm going to serve in the church, but then I'm going to go home and I'm going to get all this stuff done. Like you become a little bit more productive. Maybe you have a talent or ability that you can use to make money. And volunteering that ability for fellow believers or the church feels like you're giving it away for free and you should be paid for it. Many of you have talents and abilities that you actually do use for your jobs and you actually bless our abilities and don't charge a church. You look at it as like, hey, this is a talent ability God gave me and bless the church. If you're going to look at it and say, well, I'm not going to give it away for free, then your heart's probably not in the right place because you're not doing it in view of how I fit in to how God's gifted me and the talents that he's given me. Maybe you're worried if I give financially, I won't have enough for what I want. Or maybe you're worried about future retirement. It's kind of interesting. I mean, I think this generation of younger people, like, kids in their 20s or younger people in their 20s, I don't want to call you kids, but in their 20s, I've never heard, like when I was like 21 years old, the word retirement never even came into my mind. And now you talk to a 21, 22 year old, they're like, I'm investing away for retirement. I'm like, whoa, like that's good news to know that you're thinking that far in advance. Because most of us weren't brought up that way. We were brought up to think like, okay, you work and then you worry about retirement when you look like some of these older people that you see walking around, right? And then you go, uh-oh, I have no money. So it's good that the next generation is thinking of that. But maybe you're worried about your future retirement and you think, if I let go of money, then I won't have enough. Now, these are all valid concerns, and I don't want to minimize anyone, any of them. But listen to what Paul tells Timothy to communicate to the believers. Here's what he says. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Now, I just want to say this, and I know I've probably said this when I use this verse. When you look at that, as for the rich of this age, you're like, oh, good, he's not talking about me. He is, okay? He is, because if you have 3 squares and a roof over your head, you're pretty much rich by comparison to many people in this world. But there's a few things that I want to point out from this verse. And the first, that he tells the rich not to be haughty, which is arrogantly superior. arrogantly superior. We love those people, right? The people that have a lot and they're like, they think they're better than other people because of what they have. It is not a good look. So he says, first of all, to the wealthy, the people that are, you know, have, don't act like you're better than other people because of that. In other words, don't think your money and possessions make you better than the people that have less than you. Unfortunately, this is so embedded in our culture right now. It's so embedded. Okay, socioeconomic, it's so embedded. Okay, second is do not set your hope on riches. And I think all of you know the answer to why. Guess what? They are, what does it say? Uncertain. Okay, uncertain. Why are they uncertain? The list can go on for a long time, but the basic answer is this: because they're material possessions. Okay, they're material possessions. Moth and rust destroy. Something can happen. Financial. Maybe you're looking at your portfolio and you're saying, like, I'm doing good. And then all of a sudden you hear everybody's like, what's going on with stock market? It's crashing. What's? And then all of a sudden, what you thought you had, you no longer have. Let me just tell you, it was uncertain. There's no real hope in material things. But then he tells Timothy, teach them to put their hope in God. And guess what? He will provide. But I want to point out this one small but very encouraging thing. God provides for what? Everything for us to what? Enjoy. Imagine that. God blessed you with what you have because he cares about the joy that you have in life. You know, one of the things about good things in life, you know, the things that we're blessed with, finances and material possessions, we take some joy in those things. We don't put hope in them, but we take some joy. And I think part of that is kind of giving us a little glimpse of how when God makes all things new in the new heaven and new earth, it's a heavenly city, and we'll take joy in being around not only each other and fellowship with God, but everything that God blesses us with. The wedding supper lamb, eating and having fun with other people. That joy only happens when we recognize how we received those things. And a verse that I use a lot is this: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is the one who's blessed us with it. The time, the talents, the treasures we have are given to us by him in the first place. They're given to us by him in the first place. Remember the first to-do list? Be thankful. You can be thankful for the fact that God has blessed us with those things. But sometimes we get worried and think, if I use my time, if I use my talent or treasure to serve the Lord, I will not have those things for myself. This is where trust needs to come in. And I want to let you know that when you're generous, there's more where that came from. Okay? When you're generous, there's more where that came from. What do I base this on? One who gives freely yet grows all richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Okay? The more that you give, the more God blesses. And this is not prosperity gospel. This is just truth from the scriptures telling us when you're willing to trust God and let go, God is going to provide. And you're not going to have to worry about where the next whatever, time, talent, treasure is coming from. God will continue to provide for you. We need to remember that we should not trust in what we have, but we should trust in Jesus. Just like we did for salvation. I mean, remember, the gospel message is we are sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. He rose from the grave to prove that he is God. And the scriptures say all who believe that he did that will have eternal life. So God provided for your salvation. Won't he provide for everything else? You didn't provide for your salvation. You didn't work for it. You didn't achieve it. God freely gave it as a gift for you to receive. So if God was willing to lay it all down for you, won't he provide when you let go of some? And he's not saying let go of all. He is clearly in the scriptures not saying let go of all, but he says give of your first fruits, of your time, your talent, and treasure. God was generous to us by being willing to sacrifice for our sins. So now we look to him as an example of generosity towards us. And listen to what Hebrews says. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Think about it. Jesus found joy in giving his life. Okay? Jesus found joy in giving his life. You should find joy in being generous, which brings us to the next point, and that is generosity brings joy. See, much of the time, we're trying to make ourselves happy and content. We use our time for the things that we want to do. We use our talents maybe for our own glory. And we gather more treasure to spend on ourselves. We're in a pursuit of joy. Do you realize that? We want to be content. We want to be happy. So we're gaining. And, you know, it's a sad day. And Ecclesiastes talks about this. When somebody works all their life to gain all these things, only to what? Not get to use them, right? Ecclesiastes says some really interesting things like, basically, and you leave it to a fool. So hopefully none of your kids are fools. Here's the thing. Generosity brings joy. And if you're just gathering so that someday you can use, you're not going to find much joy in that. I will tell you that. You're not going to find much joy in that. You kind of have to learn how to give, in a sense. So we search for contentment and joy, and the world sold us a lie and told us it is found in using our time, our talent, and our treasure for ourselves. Now, I've used this quote before, but it's such a good one. Winston Churchill said it this way: we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. Maybe the thought of being generous actually makes you uncomfortable, or even worse, it makes you critical. Okay? Maybe even right now, because I'm talking about generosity, you're thinking, okay, Mike, what does the church need? Well, if that's the case, you need to check your heart. Okay? You need to check your heart. If it's not in the right place, ask yourself, ask yourself why, okay? Because when our heart is in the right place, we start to evaluate how we can be generous. Things like this inspire you, and you think, oh, you know what? What can I do? How can I use my time? How can I use my talent? How can I use my treasure? God does not want to force us to be generous. It's not a labor of love when we're forced to be generous. You know, one of the main reasons why we stopped passing the plate at the offering for the church is we wanted to make sure no one feels pressure to give. And guess what? Ever since we've done that, I think it's been like 13 years now, we've never ended a year under budget, not once. And we did that because we don't want people to feel pressure. And it also gives you a nice way to respond to people when they say, oh, the church, it only wants your money. You'd be like, not mine, okay? Come to my church, because you'll never have a plate pass like that. And guess what? When your heart's in the right place, because some people have criticized and said, well, people won't know where the box is. I'm like, really? Okay, we have two doors, okay? So, but my answer is this. If you are led to and desire the Lord and give financially, you're going to find the box, okay? That is for us as worship God, okay? In the scriptures, we see generosity is a heart issue. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves what? A cheerful giver. Okay, if you're looking at it like, this is what I have to do, you got to check your heart, because God's like, listen, I don't need your money. Okay, giving is actually for you to display your trust in God. God does not need your money. Okay, God does not need it. It's just he wants to know that his child is looking and saying, I'm willing to let go of anything for you. Remember Abraham when he was called by God to give up his son Isaac? He did it, right? Okay. I don't think any of you are being asked to give that much, right? So here's the truth. People always ask me this because, you know, you'll hear the word tithe. And, you know, people translate it 10%. And actually, if you look in the Old Testament and start adding things up, some of the Old Testament tithes were like 23 1/3%. And people are like, ooh, I'm glad you don't teach that. Well, here's the thing. I don't teach a hard and fast tithe. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart. Here's the thing. When you come to make your budget, when we're talking about finance-wise, when you go to make your budget, you're supposed to give of the first fruits. Some of you, it might be 10%. Some of you, it might be 20%. Some of you, it might be 50%. I don't know. I don't know your financial situation. But you decide what you desire to give. And that's New Testament giving. I'll tell you, and you know, I mean, people have said, well, no, I think it's a 10%. I think 10% is a good place to start, right? But the truth of the matter is you have to decide. It's between you and the Lord. We're never going to say this is what each person should give because the scriptures tell us here, it's decided in your heart before the Lord. And guess what? God wants you to be cheerful about it. He wants you to look in and say, not I have to, what? I get to. And you know what? When you get to do that, you're part of a bigger purpose and a bigger plan. Which brings us to the next thing about generosity. And it is truly an act of worship. It says, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. It's not only supplying the needs, the here and now needs, but it's actually showing God. Like, God, you blessed me, and I'm going to keep doing this. And I know, based upon how you blessed me in the past, and I'm going to trust you, and you're going to keep doing this. When we're generous, we're acknowledging that God has been generous with us, and it's an act of worship. We're actually giving back to the rightful owner, which is God. When you're generous with your time and talent and treasure and use those things to serve the Lord, it's an act of worship. Some of you will come around here and you'll clean up the front yard or help hang Christmas lights or take them down and stuff. That's an act of worship. You know what I mean? It's not community service. That's actually you look and say, I'm going to grab my rake and I'm going to worship the Lord with my rake today. Okay? We have people that come here and clean the church. Hey, they clean up after different services and different things, and you come here and you look, and you don't notice that it's clean. But I'll tell you what, when there's somebody that's not willing to give of their time and the church is dirty, you gonna notice? Of course you are, okay? So these people come in here, sneak in and do that, and they give up their time to do that. So as an act of worship, our generosity can assist us in our final point. And that is this, generosity can bring others to Jesus. See, when we're generous with our time and our talent and our treasure to help other people and fulfill the purpose of the church, it communicates to the people in the community, you are valued, you are important, and we care about you. Okay, we care about this community. Okay, we're not a holy huddle that comes in here and says, oh, community is bad. World's bad. We're good. That's why we come here on Sunday for an hour. Okay, that's not us. Okay, we look at this as we want to reach out and bless the community because of this. We want to bring people to Jesus. We welcome people. We're not creating our own little club. We're not existing for our own personal needs and our own personal satisfaction. We're building God's church so we can do more for him in the future. We're doing this to show the love of Jesus. Listen to what scripture says. It says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone is the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. Our generosity is God's love in action. Our generosity is God's love. Anybody can say, oh yeah, I love. But put your actions behind that. Your time, your talent, your treasure to do those things. Like, this church cannot exist without all of you. This church cannot exist without all of you. God placed you in this body so that you can serve in it, so you can use your time in it, your talent in it, and your treasure to be used to continue the mission of this church. Now, I want to say this. Over the next year, we're going to be releasing what we believe is the future of FRBC, what it looks like in the community, and your generosity is going to play a part in this. Over the next year, we're really trying to cast out vision, trying to figure out, and I've said this before, here's the truth. We're just a slice of time in the history of this church, and my prayer is that 50 years from now, this church will still be doing the same thing, being a light to the gospel. The only way that that's going to happen is if we, as this generation, actually look and say, how are we going to make this happen? I want people to look back and say, you know what? Those people that all have passed on, that are in heaven right now, set the stage for us to continue to do the work. Like, I never want to look and have people say, you know what? They really dropped the ball. They were lazy. They were losers. They were people that weren't generous. They were greedy. They only existed for themselves. We want people to look back and say, you know what? Those people really helped set us up so we can continue to do the work of the gospel ministry. That's why we observe communion, right? It's a remembrance of what our purpose is, the gospel. The fact that Jesus Christ gave up his body, generously gave up himself for us, shed his blood in our place for our sins. So now we remember that. But communion is also a time for us to evaluate. You know what? Maybe you haven't been a generous person. Maybe it's for none other reason than you never really thought about it much. You figured, other people do that. That's not something I need to do. Or maybe you're overly critical. You know, you're skeptical. Oh, people, you know, they want to take advantage of you by using your time. They want to take advantage of you by you doing stuff for free for them. They want to take advantage of you by, you know, wanting you to give. Don't look at life like that. It's a very sad way to look at what the Lord desires of each person. Okay. I'll just tell you this. I want to be very clear with this. I don't want anybody to leave here thinking, oh, Pastor Mike's just rallying the troops to try to get more done and more money, because that's not my goal. If you are critical and your heart's in the wrong place, please don't give. I'd rather give you money so that you can actually feel better about coming here, because I never want you to look at it like that. I never want you to begrudgingly do or give anything here at this church. I want you to cheerfully say, yep, this is what I do, and this is the church I love because I love the Lord, and I really believe that this church is doing what the Lord is calling it to do, which is get the gospel out. So whatever you're struggling with right now, whether it has to do with generosity or any other type of sin, I just want to give you a few moments to just be quiet, and then we'll partake together. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. He said, this is my body given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, Jesus took the cup, said, this is the cup of my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. It's the cup of the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me.